If you have your Bible, I would like for you to stand up and, as proud as you can, present it into the air. Give God praise for giving us His precious written word. Amen. Know that we'll use it as a standard today because there's a message that He wants us to hear from His word.
Thank you, Lord.
You may be seated. Luke chapter 2, our Christmas story. Maybe you would have predicted He's going to speak from Luke chapter 2 because it's Christmas. I'll be the first to tell you that I never know where I'm going to speak from until God lays it on my heart. And I would like to take this opportunity from the pulpit to be able to say, I appreciate the Lord allowing me the opportunity to hear the sermon before you do. And I know who I am, even things about me that you don't know, which make me less deserving to do anything for Him. And I praise Him for that. I praise Him for letting me be able to speak on His behalf. I look around and I see our congregation, I see the world, I see society, and I see a time that doesn't have much joy in it. You look at the political climate, you look at the social climate, you look at the health climate, you look at all these things going on, and there seems to be an absence of joy. In praying these past several weeks, Lord, what would you have me speak on? I'll share with you what I've shared with you before. It's inevitable the weeks leading up to Christmas, knowing that I want us to be able to focus on this time of year and what it means. Because otherwise, you're going to start thinking it means what the world tells you it means. And so you go back at the Christmas story, and from my position, I look and I think, well, Lord, I preached on that, I preached on that, I preached on that, I preached on that. And you go back and you think, well, you would probably cover a lot of the same story after 5 years, especially after 10. But then when you get to 15 years, it's like, Lord, hey, listen, I don't know that there's anything left for me to preach. You say, surely you don't say that. I don't say it, I think it. And then He does it. And then He shows me something and lets me know that, hey, I don't have to look any further than the first part of this story in Luke chapter 2. It says, and it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph went up from Galilee, out of the city of David, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there and the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Now you fill in this sentence. For behold, I bring you good tidings of. I bring you good tidings of. Which shall be to some people. Thank you for correcting me. All people. Great joy for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God on highest. That's glory to God in heaven. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things, meaning they were amazed, which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned. Listen, they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them. I found that in this book that's so relatable to us that we call the Bible, which is God's holy inspired word, we've been learning about it, the truth that it has in it. On Wednesday night, we have what we call truth class, where we take the Bible and we're looking at the truths. They're all truths, but we're weighing them against some of the things that society believes today. And I found that you didn't have to get past the first couple of verses to see that God was intentional to give us the details of what happened before Jesus was born. The details. Now, what about the details? Well, as John and Marty sang, we were able to see a story come to life because we saw young Mary and young Joseph, the details of it. Mary, Joseph, and their situation had nothing to do with the actual salvation that you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. But the details, why were they there? Why did we have to know all these things? It's amazing that God knows us. And He knows how our mind works, and He knows how we have to think about things. Still loves us. I'm sure that as you sang Joy to the World this morning, you've probably been in the same position I have been before. Maybe you're not there now, and praise God if you're not, but I've sang that song a lot in my life, but if someone were to open my mind and read it, I was singing Joy to the World, but I wasn't feeling the joy that I was singing about. Maybe I was overwhelmed by some situational problem I had in my life, some relational problem, a health problem, a financial problem. I could go down the list, but we all have situations and problems where we don't feel joy in that problem, correct? And so you could actually sing Joy to the World, but yet in your heart, there's no joy. And so we can sing it and really not understand that this announcement, this good news of great joy, which shall be to all people, number one, includes you, you're all people, but it's an announcement that you have to hear because there's a lot of things that you'll go through in life that will take your joy. And I began to look at the details. Think about this, will you please? Think about it. There went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, right? And that's first verse. Why would we have to know that? Well, consider this. How joyful would it be if you got a decree today that said you were going to be taxed by someone? Anybody joyful about that? If you are, something's terribly wrong with you. Even the fact that we might be taxed more robs our joy. But get this, not only will you be taxed, you need to travel back to your place of origin, where you were born, so that they can count you, so that you can be taxed. So it's not much the taxing, it's the effort. So why is that a detail? Because I want you to get in this story. I want to ask you, will you get in the details with me this morning? Will you? Understand that if you travel back, like Joseph and Mary, a young couple, him trying to make it. Oh, they were real people. Him trying to make it. He had to make a 90-mile journey, which was going to take several days, if not weeks, to make a 90-mile journey. He had to stop his business, stop his income, pick up everything that he had and go because he was being made to go somewhere to be taxed. Joy. No. So not only was there a decree that took his joy, took her joy, now we have to leave our job, our position of income. No joy in that. We have to travel. Hold on a minute. The travel. 90 miles. That's a long way to walk, ride a donkey. But if you're 9 months pregnant and you're going over flatlands and hills, if you would ever geographically scope the path from Nazareth to Bethlehem, it's not just an easy trek. No joy in that, right? No joy in the trip. And then, you know, the overwhelming thing that no certain day brought, but it was an overwhelming cloud that while you lived in this time, you were under Roman oppression, under Roman rule. They could come in and do anything they wanted to you. How would your joy be knowing that you were living under the rule of another country, another person now that was saying something that was going against what you thought? No, we're seeing that now, even the thought of it that stands against something that you stand for. Not much joy in that. And then this broke my heart when I began to think about it, because I thought about it like a husband, a dad. When they got to Bethlehem, there was no room for them to stay. Joseph had to make that walk back with it on his heart to tell his wife, "Honey, I'm sorry. Listen, I'm going to tell you, as a husband, there's a sense of just protection and provision that God wants you to be able to provide for your family. To think about that walk, him coming back to say, Mary, I'm defeated. I have no place that you can stay. We're going to have to stay in a barn. I know you're praying." It broke my heart. He didn't come back in joy, right? And then you think of the second scene. The second scene's pretty important. There were also in the fields shepherds watching their flock by night. You say, well, that's just not relatable to the first. Oh, absolutely. You see, that shepherd's job was full of responsibility. They were responsible for every sheep. Not only did they have to watch the sheep, they had to watch them all the time. They had to be continually concerned whether something was going to come in and hurt the flock, or one was going to wander off, and there were responsibilities of food and where do we take them, and then it had to be done at night, and then they were away from their families. So what kind of joy was there? And we can relate to this. There's relatability, because sometimes there's not a lot of joy in responsibility. That's why a lot of people don't want to take it. That's why a lot of people are handing it out to somebody else to take. But God wants us to have responsibility, because he wants us to be able to see the struggle and see his provision. I feel like we live in a society today that says you don't have to be responsible for yourself, and let's get into this mindset that somebody else will take care of you and you become dependent on them. But God never says it that way. I heard something great this week. Somebody sent me something, just this one thing that I thought was beautiful. It says God provides the birds every worm they have, but he doesn't drop them in their nest. They have to go out and get them. So responsibility. You know, sometimes our joy leaves us in our responsibility of making a living. So let's relate to these shepherds. They were making a living. Sometimes there's no joy in that, is there? But then something happened. It says the angel of the Lord appeared. Listen to the details. And the Shekinah glory of the Lord came around this angel in the sky where these shepherds were. And this angel made an announcement. And it was an announcement of good news, of great joy, made to a bunch of shepherds who didn't have the joy because of the responsibility of making a living and no matter what was going on. And there's probably other details that were in that story that we're not relating to, like someone that was sick that couldn't work and he had to pull his shift at night because Gus couldn't show up for work. I have to go in and already pulled another shift, so I'm upset about this. And all these details we don't know, but we do know that sometimes in making a living and doing life, we lose our joy. An angel appeared and said, I have good news of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, and it should technically be town of David, city of David, called Jerusalem, the town of David is where he was born. Nevertheless, who was born? A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This joy was to be to all people. No matter who they are, no matter what situation they're facing that seems to be taking away their joy. So in the middle of a time where we can see there was not a lot of joy, the announcement came and proclaimed great joy to all people. And it came when these people weren't focusing on the joy of life. Even though that joy had been promised, if you look through the Old Testament, this joy had been promised throughout by the prophets, right? For unto you is born a Savior. He'll be a child. A virgin is going to conceive. He shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Your Messiah is coming. They could have lived with that joy, and we have a joy that we live with, but sometimes in life, with the responsibilities of life, and then just the things that happen, we're not really singing joy to the world, even though we might sing it. So, this year, you know, I realize we're living in that kind of time. A time with so many things going on in our lives that it becomes hard to think of the joy that God's promised. If you've heard anything about 2020, you probably haven't heard anything positive because you've lived through it. You could surely not be joyful about the political climate or the agenda or the social climate or the situation with health or the economic situation caused by that. A lot of things where we could say, what joy is it, right? And even the things that are in place now where you're being advised, hey, do something different at Christmas. You see, we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, our Savior, at Christmas. And I've heard so many people say this year, Christmas is just not going to be the same. I know you've heard it. I want to show you how relatable it is, the details in this story, because first of all, bear witness. How many people here today have heard someone say, this year, Christmas is not going to be the same? Raise your hand, please. Now, even further sacrifice of honesty, how many people have actually thought it themselves? Just not going to be the same. Because of all these things, we can't do this, we can't do this, it's not going to be the same. And we say, oh, we're just thinking about the logistics won't be the same. No, we're actually thinking it's not going to be the same. But the joy of Christmas is still the same. Jesus came to this world to save us from our sin that separates us from God. When we sing joy to the world like we did this morning, I was singing something a little different because I've been studying for this message and it's been on my heart, but I wasn't singing joy to the world. I was singing Jesus to the world. Because joy to the world means Jesus to the world. It's always meant Jesus to the world. Joy to the world is not what we are doing during this season. Joy to the world is Jesus to the world. It's the announcement that the angel made. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. When we sing Hark the Herald Angels, herald means what they're saying, what they're heralding. What is it? That Jesus Christ is born. Understand the significance of Jesus Christ being born. That is God relating to us, relatability. What do you mean? There is none of us that understand God or can even get a spoonful of recognition of who God is, somebody that could create, someone that can sustain, someone that is all-knowing, someone that is all-powerful, someone that is omnipresent. I can't imagine who He is, but God said, I love you and I want you to come to me. The only way that I can get you to me because I can't relate to your sin is to take your sin away. And the only way that I can do that is to send myself to you. The Bible says when Jesus came, His name, He was prophesied as Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. So that's the joy. God loved us enough to send Himself for us in the form of human flesh, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Bible tells us that God brought Himself to us so that we could relate to Him. The person that never relates to God can never come to Him. You say, what do you mean? Never relates to God. If you never are able to see the love of God, you'll never desire the love of God. If you never can see the holy and righteousness of God, you'll never see the unrighteousness of yourself, which means that you'll never repent. If you never see God's righteousness in right and wrong, you'll never admit you're wrong. If you never admit you're wrong, then you'll never ask for forgiveness, then you can't come to God. Understand, the relatability of God is a big deal. The announcement of joy came at a time when people were not focusing on the joy of life. Even though this joy had been promised centuries before, they were under Roman rule. Now they were under Roman decree. Now they were traveling to a place. Now there was no place when they got there. Now the shepherds were doing life. Now all these things that could take their joy away were happening. So I want to tell you that this announcement of joy meant more then than it ever would if there were other things in their life that they thought they were getting joy from. Which means, yes, this Christmas shouldn't be like any other Christmas. It should be better than any other Christmas. Why should it be better? Because in a time when you're looking around and you're saying, well, there's no joy in this is happening, there's no joy in this is happening, praise God. We have joy in Jesus Christ, Jesus to the world. He came for us, right? And that doesn't change. Even though our situations that we get joy in do change. Jesus to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare Him room, and heaven and nature sing. Jesus to the world, say it with me. It's what we've been celebrating, no matter what the events and traditions surrounding Christmas may look like this year. We're celebrating Jesus to the world. And the fact that a celebration comes at a time that we may think is not too joyous is no different than the time that the angel proclaimed it when Jesus was born. We all want joy, don't we? Everybody's trying to find joy in this life. Some are looking for joy in a relationship. Some are looking for joy in wealth or material possessions. Some are looking for joy in pleasure. Some look for joy on an everyday basis and little things in their life, whether it be food, whether it be clothing, something that they can find joy in. What do we really know about this little word, joy? The joy that the angel spoke about that Jesus would bring is different than the joy that most people are chasing in this world. This little word appears in the Bible 165 times, which means it's significant. God wants us to know. Do you know the coming of Jesus from heaven to this earth was the beginning of joy? Beforehand, there was the expectation of joy, and he was the beginning of joy. Now, why is this so important? Well, joy, by definition, is intense happiness and great delight, or second definition, that which gives rise to this emotion or which causes this emotion, which this emotion centers on. We look at joy, it's an inward or outward expression of emotion. But what I want you to see is joy has to be caused by something. True? You say, well, I wake up in the morning and I feel joy. You should, because you woke up. And that's good enough reason. But joy has to have a cause. There's a cause when you lose it. There's a cause when you get it. And Jesus is that joy. He's the cause of that joy. That's why we can sing Jesus to the world. This outward joy that we show, which could be just contentment or a laugh or a smile or an upbeat attitude, has to be a cause for it. The reason that this emotion of joy is so important is because joy is not just something that we feel here, it's something that transcends this life. I want to explain. There's a lot of things that we chase in this life for joy. And do you know that God, He made us this way? He knows we have this drive. He knows that we're going to chase things that we think our joy might come from. And there is certain joy in those things. But here's the difference. The joy that we're celebrating at Christmas is Jesus to the world. It's that you can have joy through Jesus. You say, why is that different? You're just one of those religious people that's trying to spiritualize something at Christmas. I have joy just in the celebration. No, understand something. God knows how we are. If we're finding our joy in things that don't last, then our joy will not last. I get a great amount of joy from going and eating a cheeseburger. And I love cheeseburgers. Right when they come off the grill, not too dry. Taste all that in there, a little mayonnaise and pickles on them. No onions, right? My joy lasts as long as the cheeseburger. And then it's done. You know, I give that example so that you can remember it. Jesus gave a much more in-depth dissertation in Matthew chapter 6 where he said, store not up for yourself treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt and thieves break through and steal. And he says in verse 21 of Matthew 6, for where your heart is, Now, what is he talking about? For where your heart is. Well, you see, your heart is the place you're going to experience real joy. And when Jesus made this comment, he says, store not up treasures here, treasures on earth. He was talking about where your heart is. What do you mean? Well, verse 21, he said, for where your treasures are, there will your heart be also. If your treasure, in Jesus' words, if your joy, the things that bring you joy, are just in things that are going to go away, then you're setting yourself up to lose your joy. If your joy is just in how good your job is going, there's going to be days your job's not going good. If your joy is just in how good your health is, there's going to be times your health is not good. If your joy is just in what you own and how long it lasts, what you have is going to break. Moth and rust doth corrupt. Right? That's what he's trying to say. He said your joy, this indescribable joy, is in something that you have here, but that transcends this life. Now, there's nothing you're wearing, nothing that you own, nothing that you've participated in as far as pleasure in this whole year that you're going to take with you when you die. But your joy, you can. Amazing, isn't it? He said your joy could be stored up in heaven. You can have it here and in heaven, but that's because Jesus to the world happened. That was the great announcement. You can have something that goes from this world to then. Do you understand? If we read about heaven, what we are told is that the theme of heaven is the same theme that's being announced here. What is it? Jesus to the world. Joy is the theme of heaven. Read Revelation 4. Read Revelation 5. See what they're doing. See that they're praising God. Look at what's happening when Jesus is on the throne. Look at what's happening at its coronation. Look at what's happening when he rules during the millennial kingdom. Look at what happens throughout the scriptures, even prophetic scriptures. He brings joy. And it's all going to be about joy. It won't be about what we have, what we don't have, what we chased after here to give us our joy. If our joy is in Jesus Christ, that great joy which all the people have an opportunity to have, when he said, it shall be to all people, if that joy to the world, if that Jesus to the world is our treasure, then that treasure will transcend this life. You think, well, Jesus is my joy. Well, I heard someone say before, you really find out what your focus and your joy is on, because if you were to lose that thing, would it completely take your joy? That's what your joy is on. By that definition, we find out there's a lot of temporary things that our joy is on. And by rights, we're going to lose our joy. We're going to be in situations in this life that maybe we're not even responsible for. The decree went out, nothing they could do about it. You're going to be taxed, nothing they could do about it. You're going to have to travel here, nothing they could do about it. There's no room, nothing they could do about it. Got a job, and what about these sheep? Nothing you can do about it. Need to make a living. There's all kinds of things that can distract us from the joy that we're supposed to have. The ultimate reward for every human being that accepts the joy that God offers through Jesus Christ is this: a never-ending, unexplainable, indescribable, unspeakable joy. There's not a place you can work for today that will give you that or promise you that. There's not an amount of money you can make that will give you that. There's not a person that you can be with that'll give you that. God can give you that, and he gave it to us through Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that we won't have situations when we can't find joy in those situations. It means that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we'll have this joy as we go through these situations. And I never knew that to be true. Throughout most of my life, I even equated my blessings to the things of this life that God let me be able to gain. And then I realized that was the measure of my joy, whether I had the things of this life. And then I realized that the things of this life are never permanent, they're temporary. And that God had given me an indescribable joy, and that helped me, because for sure, you're going to go through situations where you just don't know what to do, and you don't know why this is stacked against you or that's going on. It's a time where you wouldn't have any joy. And God says, hey, listen, during those times, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And when you have to those times, then come to me when you're laden with these problems and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. When you have these situations, cry out to me. Cast your cares on me because I care for you. He said, in those times where you're not feeling the joy, I gave you indescribable joy. What is this joy? This joy is based on a promise. The cause for the joy was a promise. Or else, why would any of the Old Testament saints praise God? It was based on a promise of salvation, right? Do you realize the joy that the shepherds received was based on a promise? The angel said, in Bethlehem, there's a child who'll be in a manger. But the shepherds hadn't seen the child yet. Mary and Joseph, as we learned a little last week, were told what was going to happen, but it was based on a promise of God. For them to keep joy through all of this was based on a promise. The Old Testament saints lived based on a promise. The cause for joy is a promise. But it's not just the promise, it's the way that we get this great joy. You have to accept the promise. The only way that we can have real joy is to be in fellowship with God. And the coming of Jesus was the opportunity for every person to experience great joy in this life throughout eternity, because the only way that we can come into fellowship with God is accept the promise of God. What is the promise? The promise of God is Jesus to the world. And Jesus to the world, to break it down for you for the sake of the gospel, is this. God loves you in spite of who we are. He loves us. And we're made in the image of God. And God knows that it's hard for us to relate, so He gives us relatable things. And so He wants us to see a story where otherwise someone would be overcome with the stress of their life and situations and have no joy. And He wants to say, here's the announcement. I'm bringing joy to the world that's not going to go away. It's going to continue throughout eternity. It will be the theme of eternity. It'll be what you can take from here to there. It'll be what sustains you when you have times that don't have any joy. Because I want to be with you during your life and your eternal life, but I can't. And God says, I can't because I can't have anything to do with sin. And God's a holy and righteous God, but yet the Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one righteous, none of us. And if we stay in that sinful condition, then our fate is eternal death. For the wages of sin is death. But praise God, the gift is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It means He made a way. What way? Jesus to the world. You see, Jesus to the world allows us to come to God. But the Bible says that we don't love Him first. He loves us first, right? God sent Himself. The Bible says that this was His plan. That's why we call Jesus Emmanuel. It's God with us. God took the form of a flesh and came to this earth so that we could see Him as a man. Relatability. Jesus died on a cross for us as a sacrifice for our sins. And when He died, He had never sinned. But He had to live a life before He could die the death. The life began in Bethlehem, and that's where the joy began. Hebrews chapter 12. If you look at the first three verses of Hebrews chapter 12, you'll see something that should blow our mind. I know it does mine. Turn there if you will. The Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 12, that our joy was Jesus' motivation for living and dying on the cross. Now, when you receive this same kind of joy, it will motivate you through your times of the absence of joy. Now, get this. If you don't believe me, think about the shepherds. They were motivated to go and see him. Think about Mary and Joseph. They were motivated to stay on the journey and get it done. Think about the wise men. They were motivated to continue on for the joy that was in front of them, that they were going on the promise, right? Hebrews chapter 12. The Bible tells us, wherefore seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. That's the command. What is the race? The race is life. I take you back to the shepherd's field. They were making a living. They were doing life. I take you back to Mary and Joseph. They were going through the trials of life. There would have been no joy. I take you back to everybody in that town that was having to travel there to be taxed. There was no joy. That's the race. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, don't miss this. Who for the joy that was set before him? Big deal here. Big deal. Who for the joy that was set before him? What did he do? He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand God the Father on the throne. For the joy that was set before him, he did life. What do you mean? Jesus Christ came into this world at a time when there was no joy under Roman rule to be the fulfillment of God's promise to bring us joy. Joy to the world, Jesus to the world. Jesus Christ the Lord was born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Jesus Christ the Lord. Jesus was His name. Christ was the Messiah. Lord was His deity. He never lost His deity. He came to this earth, and for the joy that was set before Him, the motivation of Jesus in everyday life when He had an opportunity to sin, but he didn't. You say, Jesus never had opportunity to sin. Jesus wasn't tempted. You need to read your Bible because it says he was tempted in every way, yet he never gave in to that temptation. Why? For the joy of knowing that you and me could come to God. What a cause for joy. The joy of being spit on and called names. The joy of being beaten and go through physical pain. The joy of being ostracized even by your own family. The joy of seeing your best friends in life forsook you when you were being crucified. The joy of knowing that no one around you stood up for you. The joy of knowing that even the religious people of that day criticized you and sought to kill you. That joy, yes, the joy of knowing he could give it to us. That's Jesus to the world. And it means more this year than it did last year. In a time where we look around and say, well, this isn't joyous and this isn't joyous. I've got a joy that no one can take away. I've got a joy that transcends this life. I've got a joy that can overwhelm all the other situations in my life that don't have any joy. Glory to God. Great joy. This same Jesus, when I look at his entire mission, what was it? It was a mission of joy. Well, that's what it tells us anyway. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. That was his mission, right? And then it says, for consider him, verse 3, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. What does this mean? Let me give you the translation. Listen, consider what Jesus did when you get tired and you start focusing all the things that don't give you joy. Or would the story be written like this about us? And in that day, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And we were ticked. And everybody was upset. And so they began to murmur and talk about how bad it was. And they turned on the channel that was going to support whatever they thought, and the podcast and the YouTube broadcast, anything they could be upset about, because they just wanted to be upset. They had no joy and they were going to dwell in it. And that's what they decided to do. Just remove themselves. And live in that state of no joy. No. They needed joy more than ever. Didn't they? But they had to stop dwelling on the things that were temporary moments that had no joy and start dwelling on the promise of joy now and eternal joy. What a better time to do it than now. In this time where everybody thinks Christmas is just not going to be the same. No, it should be better. This holds true. There ain't a law they can pass. There ain't a thing they can do that can change the truth of God. Amen. Nothing. There's nothing that can take away, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That is our joy. And it was the motivation for Jesus. It needs to be our motivation, the joy that's set before us. Amen. To do what? To endure this life where we may not have joy. There's a couple of things that we have to have. We have to have that joy for ourselves, which means you have to accept that joy. You have to. You can't have it just because it's joy to the world. You have to accept that joy. You might be here listening today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Well, yes, He came to bring great joy, but it doesn't mean you have it. It's no different than anything else. It was His motivations for the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. You have to receive the joy. In this time where we're giving gifts, understand, no matter what gift it is, if I give this gift, I've got a pretty nice watch here, Don. Would you like to have that watch?
Sure.
All right. Then I'm going to give you that watch, right? I'm going to give Don that watch. Whose watch is it? Whose watch is it? Nah, it's not God's watch yet. Right? Whose watch is it? Huh? It's my watch. Am I willing to give it to Don? Is it Don's watch? It's not Don's watch till Don takes it, right? When he takes that watch, whose watch is it? Is it my watch anymore? It was my joy, and that was a joy that I had, but I gave that joy, and as long as I had that joy, Don didn't have it, but now Don has that joy. Don, do you have that watch? Then I want you to act like you've got that watch, Don. I want you to celebrate like you've got that watch, right? Now understand, he's celebrating the joy of having that watch no different than the angel celebrated and said, this is an announcement of joy. When we get the joy, we're supposed to be pronouncing and announcing the joy of having Jesus. Jesus to the world shouldn't change because the world has changed, because Jesus hasn't changed. So this year, more than ever, your pronouncement is Jesus to the world. In the same way that the angels announced it, We need to announce it because joy doesn't go from you to someone else till someone sees you have it. It went from the angels to the shepherds to the people that they left glorifying God to, right? Joy is transferable. Jesus is transferable. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear? They're only going to hear about joy if someone talks about Jesus to the world. They're going to hear about the other joys when you explain that to them, what God's done for you as far as your material possessions. But how are you going to explain that joy when your material possession breaks or when you lose it? God take that joy away? Careful. Careful what we explain to people our joy is. The only joy that you can keep forever is Jesus to the world. Now, I know we're going to have situations in life that strain us, that pull us, that tug on us, that cause us to lose cognitive joy about something. There's no way that we can be happy about certain things. But God gives us a joy that we can carry through those times of being unhappy about other things, knowing that it's a thing of permanence, that we're continually connected to God. We can't lose our connection to God. God won't leave us. He won't forsake us. And that He's greater than he that's in the world. And that we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. There's nothing you can face. There's a joy in that. And you actually realize the joy more in hardships than you do when it's going right. You're in one of two positions today. You're a person that is trying to find joy on your own, or a person who has believed in the promise of joy through Jesus Christ alone. Amen. I don't know who you are, but I know that God had this message because in a time like this where everyone is saying it's not going to be the same, I want to say this year it's going to be better. Amen. We've got something that can't fade away. I love what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 3, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, whom having not seen you love, and whom now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And that's what I want you to see this morning. If you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, if you can't say for sure that I know that I have come to him and believed who God was and accepted Jesus as my Savior, I've confessed to him that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus, for the joy set before him, he lived his life with no sin so that he could die this sacrificial death. God, I want Jesus to use his sacrifice to forgive my sins. That's the only way I can come to you, God. I'm a sinner and you are God. Forgive me and let Jesus be my Savior. If there's not a time to where you proclaim that to God, and I don't mean by those very words, but you can't say there's been that time, you need to get the joy that he promises. And if you have, and many people have, but somewhere along doing life and making a living, what happened to the joy? It's still there. It's just you put it behind a lot of other things. So what is this? This is time. This is invitation time. What's that mean? It's invitation to pray. How will you respond to what he's told you today? Are you content to keep going on through these weeks and focusing on these things that keep you in a state of not having joy? Or can you praise God? Can you praise him for the joy that he sent to the world, Jesus to the world? Can you say you've accepted Jesus as your Savior? If you can't, I'm going to be right down here today and I want to pray with you. And if you're at home and you're listening, understand God will save you right where you're at. You admit to God who he is. You confess your belief. You confess to God who you are, a sinner, You ask God to forgive your sins by asking Jesus Christ. What God will do is he'll look at your words, but then he'll look at your heart. And if you're serious, God will save you. He sent Jesus to the world for you. And Jesus lived his whole life because that was the joy that was set before him for you. It's a big deal if you refuse it. By rights, you hear somebody say, would God send anybody to hell? God's not sending anybody to hell. He gives them an opportunity to be saved from it. You make a choice in your life whether you want to accept that or not. You can accept it today. And if you're here and want to pray, I want to pray with you. That's what's happened to these people in these past weeks. They've realized it and they've gotten saved. But if you've been saved and somewhere around the work or the schedule or the situation or the demands or the responsibilities you're having to feel, you've lost that joy, Jesus is still there. You find him in a prayer. You go to him and let him know that, hey, you just, you know, a prayer of rededication is just an honest prayer. I put you behind things, God. I don't know what's been wrong with my mind, but I know I can't be a light for you because I'm not spreading joy. All I'm dwelling on are these things that I don't have joy in. God, I'm sorry. I know you're keeping me alive today. Be a light for you so that I can let that joy be set before me. Come to him and make it right with him and have the best Christmas ever as a child of God, knowing that you've received Jesus to the world. Father God, I love you and I praise you and I thank you for this day. I thank you for who you are, the one and only true living God that loves us. God, I praise you for loving us. You loved us. You sent Jesus to the world for us to live a sinless life, die a sacrificial death so we could get to you. Praise you, Father. Praise you. I pray, God, today that you would touch hearts and lives that are listening to this. And Lord, change lives today. If there's someone that's not saved, give them boldness even now to step out and know that they can leave here with that joy. Lord, for those at home that may be there, Lord, give them boldness to pray. Let them know. Let them see your loving arms open to you. And God, for Christians who, Lord, we're experiencing all these things around us. We're experiencing the decrees. We're experiencing these things of discomfort, these things, Lord, that we don't want to go through, and even the things of our everyday making a living, Lord, somewhere we lost our joy. God, as your children bow in front of you today, Lord, just pick them up and hold them in the deepest crevice of your hand. Let them know their joy is in you as they rededicate their life. Lord, restore that joy that transcends this life, I pray, in Jesus' name.